Welcome back to our Shir in Lakut and Siches. We will be learning the second Siche for Parashas Kistobri, which is the Rashi's Siche. And it's important in order to be able to get the flow of the Rebbe's Siche to understand the various Rashis which the Rebbe talks about and thereby analyzes the Rashi and the Pasuk that we're dealing with. Toward the end of Parshas Kistovri, the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu assembled the people and spoke to them, telling them, as you see in the three psukim here, and the key posuk yet until this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to know, eyes to see, and ears to hear. So that's the way he translates, yet until this day. Apparently, this day, something happened which changed that, and suddenly they have a knowing heart and seeing eyes and hearing ears. What happened? But Rashi explains, first of all, what does it mean, a knowing heart? Rashi, Lev lo das is lahakir es chasdei hakodesh baruch hu. You didn't have a heart to recognize the kindnesses of hakodesh baruch hu. So you've seen all the miracles that Hashem performed in front of your eyes in the land of Egypt. The party and all the servants of the whole country, and the great trials or wonders which your eyes beheld, and great signs and wonders, yet until this day, Hashem hadn't given you a heart, according to Rashi, to recognize Hashem's kindnesses, which would lead you to attach yourself, to cleave to Him. Okay, that's the explanation on the words, the knowing heart. Rashi carries on. The Pasuk says, He didn't grant you that heart, eyes, ears, until this day. So what happened that day? Says Rashi, that he heard an interpretation from his teachers. This is not something which is found in Chazal, but he heard it from his teachers. I heard what? She'oyste ha'yoyim she'nostan Moshe's Tefer Torah Livnei Levi. That day when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote his Tefer Torah and gave it to the children of the tribe of Levi, where do we have that? Further on. Remember, this is Perek 29. That pasuk that describes Moshe Rabbeinu giving the Sefer Torah is in chapter 31. They gave it to the Levim. That day, Bo'u kol Yisroel lifnei Moshe, all the Yidden approached Moshe, v'amru lo Moshe Rabbeinu. Avonu amadnu b'Sinai, we too stood at Har Sinai. Now look carefully at the sequence. V'kibalnu es ha-Torah, we accepted the Torah, v'nitn alonu, and it was given to us. Umatom mashlit b'nei shivtecholeh, why do you give control of Torah to the members of your tribe of Levi? Someday in the future, these Levim will claim it was not given to you, to the rest of Klal Yisrael. It was given only to us, to the Levim. That was their complaint. Moshe Rabbeinu is very happy. He's so happy that he said this pasuk, that ad hayoyim hazeh, until this day you didn't have an understanding heart to appreciate. In fact, said Rashi, there's another pasuk which talks about that day in Perek 27 earlier. And it over there it says, Hayoim hazeh nihiyeista la'om. Today you have become a nation to Hashem. What does that mean? They become a nation? They've long been Hashem's nation. But Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, today I understood that you're indeed attached to and desirous of Hashem, Hashem's presence, that you indeed wanted. How do I see that? Because you are worried lest someone disassociate you in the future from Torah and said that the Torah was not given to you. That kind of a desire indicates your connection, your attachment. The parsha then goes on. This will be relevant further on in this tikh. The parsha goes on right after the psukim that we read, and Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the people, Bo'elecheschem, I led you through the desert 40 years. Your clothes didn't wear out, your shoes didn't wear out from your feet, you didn't eat bread and you didn't drink wine, you had mon and the be'eda shel miriam, all for what? Leman teidu, so you'll know, ki ani Hashem elekeichem, that Hashem is your God. Then you came to this place just across the Yarden from Eretz Yisrael. The king of Cheshbon, the king of the Amori. Oig, the giant king of the Boshon territory. They came out likros teinu. They came out respectively toward us in battle, la milchomo. Vana came and we vanquished them. We struck them. So Rashi on the words Vatovoyo Lamokamada, we came to this place. Why is it relevant that they came to this place? That Rashi is not so much the place itself, the geography, but it is the state of mind in that place, because they had just experienced great victories over Sichon, over Oig, two powerful kings. So ato atem royim atzmechem, now you see yourself in grandeur and honor. Be careful now. Altavatu bamokin. Don't kick out, don't rebel against Hashem. Al yorim levavchem. Let not your heart swell. Don't become haughty. And the next pasuk, Ushmartem es divrei habris hazois, you shall guard the words of this bris, which is the following pasuk. And then the Rashi jumps back three psukim backwards, and he explains the pasuk three in this parasha, which he had already explained earlier, that Moshe Rabbeinu said that on this day he saw an interest and an inclination on the part of Bnei Yisrael to attach themselves to Hashem. Now they have a knowing heart. So now Rashi interpreted differently, another interpretation. Another explanation of Leinosan Hashem Lachem Lev Ladas. Hashem didn't grant you a knowing heart. Means She'ein Odom Oimed Al Soif Daito Shel Raboi. A person doesn't arrive at an understanding of the depth of his teacher's chokhmah, his mind, the chokhmas mishnosnoi, and the wisdom of his teaching, ad arboim shona, until 40 years go by. So Hashem didn't give you, he didn't allow you to have a knowing heart. And therefore, no, you could get away with your mistakes and misdeeds because you weren't yet in a position to fully appreciate them. But now that 40 years have gone by and you are able to understand and appreciate, Hashem will be fussy with you. He will take note of your misdeeds. And that's why the following pasuk says, Ushmartem es habrit hazois, you shall guard this covenant henceforth. You must observe the words of the covenant because now Hashem will be strict with you. That's the sequence of the parsha and the Rashi on it. Now we'll move on to the Sichas. After bringing the first Rashi, that Hashem hasn't given you a knowing heart and seeing eyes and listening ears, so what does it mean, a knowing heart? So Rashi explains, he didn't give you a knowing heart to recognize the kindnesses of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so that you would attach yourself to him by that recognition. That's Rashi. Again, he didn't give you an understanding heart to recognize the kindnesses of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to attach yourself as a result of that recognition. So the Rebbe asked several questions. First of all the Pasuk says he didn't give you a knowing heart. So how does Rashi know that this knowing refers to two things? One, recognition. Two, attachment. Second of all, since Rashi is explaining only the word lo das, to know, knowing, why does he also cite at the beginning of his pirush, he cites from the pasuk veloi nosan Hashem lochem leiv. Hashem did not give you this knowing heart. The words Hashem did not give you are not explained by Rashi. So why bring them? Third of all, it would seem from the context of the pasuk, after Hashem said, you have all seen the great wonders which Hashem has wrought with Paroi and in the desert, etc. So when it says afterwards, but you didn't have the heart or the eyes or the ears to know, to know what? To know what he just talked about in the previous psukim, which are the miracles that Hashem had done for them. So the emphasis should be on miracles, not just the kindnesses. After all, there are many kindnesses which are not miraculous. And Moshe Rabbeinu has been talking about the miracles which Hashem wrought for them. That is on the first Rashi of that pasuk. At the end of that pasuk, as you have seen, Rashi starts talking about until this day, you have not had knowing hearts, etc., until this day. Well, it's only until this day, but this day you do have. What happened that day? Rashi says, as we learned before, that when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah to the tribe of Levi, the people were worried that the tribe of Levi might claim in future that the Torah was given to them only. And they came to Moshe with a complaint. Moshe was very happy. Aha, now today you have the knowing heart and the eyes and the ears. Today you have become a nation for Hashem. So that's the second Rashi on that Pasuk. Says the Rebbe, there are two ways of understanding the word Ad Hayoyim Hazeh, to this day. It can mean to this very day. Something has been going on to this very day. Or until this day. Hitherto. Now, normally, we understand the Pasuk, Rashi understands the Pasuk in several places, that Ad Hayoyim Hazeh means even until today. It hadn't stopped yet. So why is it that here Rashi finds it necessary to change his interpretation of the word to mean that something happened until this day? You didn't have the heart, the eyes, the ears, but today you do, only up until this day. And then Rashi has to explain what it is that happened that day, which was so remarkable that suddenly Moshe says, they do have eyes, ears, heart. And the Rebbe brings several examples. But the question on Rashi is, why does Rashi deviate from his understanding everywhere else? Here he understands it as up to this day. The question is further accentuated by the fact that Rashi says that this interpretation about the day the Sefer Torah was given to Bnei Levi is not something which is found in the sources. Chazal didn't understand it that way. No, Shomaiti, I heard from my teachers. So if it's not found in the sources, why in fact does Rashi adopt that interpretation? In addition to the questions about the general comment of Rashi, there are also some particular fine points about the wording. You remember that the people who were worried about the tribe of Levi taking control over the Torah, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we too stood at Sinai. We accepted or received the Torah as well, and it was given to us. How do you receive it before it's given? So the order should have been the reverse. Also, when they start off with their complaint, why do you give control over the Torah to the Bnei Levi? Would imply that Bnei Levi are controlling it. And their complaint is that everybody should be equal with regard to Torah. Everybody got the Torah equally. From the end of their words, that sometime in the future, the Bnei Levi will say that Torah was not given to you. So it's not about control at all. It's about the fact that they're going to lose Torah because it won't be shared with them. So which is it? Are they worried about some superiority of the children of Levi, or are they worried about some exclusive right to Torah that the children of Levi might claim? Also, based on the sequence of the events that Bnei Yisrael are complaining to Moshe about, it would seem more like they should say, someday in the future, the tribe of Levi would say, the Torah was given to us. and not to you. Now that would be referring to Moshe Rabbeinu's act of giving this Torah that he's written now to the children of Levi. So they would use that as a proof. Torah is given to us, not to you. Rashi reverses the order. Now the Rebbe moves to the Rashi three psukim later, where Rashi talks about, you have come to this place. And the Sichon and Oi came out to fight against you, and you were victorious over them. So Rashi cites the words, you came to this place, and he says, as we learned before, now you're in a state of greatness. You've won these great battles, and you're in a state of honor. So be careful. Don't get haughty. Don't rebel against Hashem. That's the Rashi. Said the Rebbe, why does Rashi find it necessary to comment at all? What's difficult about the words that he has to explain? On the other hand, all the psukim until this point, from when Moshe gathered the people and started talking to them, all talk about the miracles that happened in their battle of Sichon and Oig. How is it possible that at the same time that Moshe Rabbeinu says, you've come to understand and appreciate Hashem's miracles with you, now don't be haughty and rebel. How do the two go together? The recognition of Hashem's miracles and the possibility that they might rebel seem mutually exclusive. What is it, the Rebbe continues to ask, about now this point where they saw themselves being on high in a position of covered all the time during the desert? They're experiencing this miraculous existence. So surely they would have been able to feel the COVID that they deserve. Everybody's astounded. More precisely, what are the two things which Rashi says, now you see yourself having gedula, greatness, and COVID and honor? What precisely are these two? And then the Rebbe discusses the final Rashi on this topic, where Rashi goes back to his to interpret the Pasuk 3 Psukim earlier until this day. And Rashi says, I have another interpretation, that a person doesn't arrive at a good understanding of his teacher until 40 years later. Why is it that Rashi finds it necessary that he must offer another interpretation? Whenever Rashi offers two interpretations, it means that there's a problem with the first one, so he offers a second one. We solved that problem, but there is a lesser problem with the second one, so you can't bring, Rashi couldn't bring that one alone. So he also has the first one. In fact, the first one is closer to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, the simple meaning of the Pasuk, than the second one. Where do we have that in these two interpretations on until this day? What are the difficulties in each one, and what are the advantage of the first one that Moshe Rabbeinu talked about, the Bnei Yisrael being desirous of Torah and being worried that someone might disassociate them from it? In each interpretation of until this day, Rashi concludes his comment with the words that follow in the Pasuk, and you shall guard the covenant of Hashem. The difference between the two, in the second one, Rashi brings, after quoting these words, and you shall guard the words of the covenant, Rashi adds, v'goymer, etc. Apparently, the words that follow, you shall guard this covenant, are important. According to the second interpretation, they are also important. What is the extra relevance of the ensuing words according to that interpretation? So the Rebbe begins to explain. From the beginning of this section, where Moshe Rabbeinu calls the people together, the next six psukim are all a lead up to the conclusion, therefore you shall guard the covenant of Hashem. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu had rebuked Bnei Yisrael for the last 40 days. He's told them what happened, what they did wrong, what when Hashem was angry with them, etc., etc. So what is this new gathering of Bnei Yisrael from Moshe to tell them, remember what happened ever since you were in Egypt and the great miracle that Hashem did for you? Guard the covenant. What's he saying that's new? Why is this whole section necessary? That is the basis of why Rashi finds it necessary to comment at all about Hashem not giving them a knowing heart, etc. Now Rashi cites from the Pasuk, Hashem did not give you a knowing heart. And the Rebbe asked before, Hashem did not give you, is not explained in the Rashi, only the word knowing heart. So why did the Rashi bring them? Now we understand. Because at first glance, it seems very strange for Moshe Rabbeinu to say that Hashem didn't give you a heart to know, or eyes to see and ears to hear the great wonders that Hashem did for you. The whole nation sang a song praising Hashem, Oshiro Hashem, I will sing to Hashem because he's performed these wonders with Egypt. Vayaminu Hashem, they all believed in Hashem. So what is it that they didn't have a knowing heart until now? Furthermore, said the Rebbe, even with regard to mitzvahs, we find that when there were people who were deprived of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach because of circumstances, they were tomei, whatever, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, Lama nigora, why should we lose out? So they obviously did desire the and appreciate the performance of mitzvah. So why is Moshe telling them that you haven't had a knowing heart? That's why Rashi says that when Hashem didn't give you a knowing heart, it's to know what? To recognize the kindnesses of Hashem. Not the miracles. The miracles they knew and they appreciated and they acknowledged, but the kindnesses. And to recognize the kindnesses in such a way that you would want to cling to him, that hadn't happened. What's the difference between knowing and recognizing Hashem's miracles and recognizing his kindness? The effect of knowing Hashem's miracles. Miracles are awe-inspiring. The miracle becomes almost commonplace after 40 years. It doesn't feel like a miracle, but there's still a kindness every day. The moon is falling, and they have what to eat and drink in the middle of the desert. So that the kindness of Hashem and recognition of kindness leads the person to love the one who's kind to him. And if it's a really great kindness, it leads him to attach himself to Hashem, to the one who's kind to him. So it's true that that B'nai Yisrael recognized the Nisim, but what Hashem wants them to come up with now is to guard the covenant in a way of devekut, of attachment to Hashem. But if we understand that this is the objective of staying, that Hashem is not giving you a knowing heart till this day, then we can no longer understand that even till this very day, you still don't have a knowing heart. No, that doesn't work, because we already had somewhat earlier in Moshe Rabbeinu's speech, where he told them, "Va'atem, you, unlike those who served the Avodah Zorah of Peor, Va'atem, you who have been attached to Hashem, your God, Hadveikim, Hashem Elokeichem, Chayim Kulchem Hayom, you're all alive today." So they were dovuk. They were attached. So we have to say that the Ad Hayom Hazeh here means until, but not including this day. Now you, in fact, do have a knowing heart and seeing eyes, etc. What happened? Where did Moshe Rabbeinu see that? So that's why Rashi continues that what happened was that they expressed their eagerness for Torah and their desire to have the Torah themselves. What was it about that worry that B'nai Levi will take the Torah away from them, which indicated their eagerness for Torah? So Rashi continues that when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Sefer Torah to the children of Levi, it's simple to understand. It doesn't seem to be a negation of the rest of the people's connection to Torah. It's just that the children of Levi would be the teachers of Torah. They were not given a portion of the land as an inheritance, because they were meant to be dedicated to Hashem and to the people in teaching. Yoyru mishpotech leYaakov, they will teach your laws, Hashem, to the Yaakov, to the Klal Yisrael. So giving them the Torah doesn't mean taking it away from everybody else. So what's the worry? That's why Rashi says, why are you putting the B'nai Levi in charge of the Torah? Yes, they're in charge of us. They're supposed to teach us. But why are you putting them in charge of the Torah? What's going to happen is that eventually, when we enter Eretz Yisrael and no longer live a supernatural life as we did in the desert, we'll be busy, each person with his field and with his vineyard. And there it's possible for B'nai Levi to say, nah, you've got no connection to Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard that, he was very happy and he said, now I understand that you are dovuk, you are cleaving to and you're desirous of Hashem, not only acknowledging his miracles, but you recognize Hashem in the commonplace you recognize his kindness, and you want to therefore love him and want to attach yourself to him. The Rebbe then goes on to explain the subsequent Rashis. The next Rashi is on, you have come to this place, and Rashi says, now you see yourself in a state of greatness and honor, so don't rebel against Hashem. What does Rashi want here? It's strange that Moshe Rabbeinu suddenly says, and you came to this place while continuing to talk about the miracles that Hashem had wrought for them. The pasuk before talks about the miracles in Egypt and the desert. The pasuk afterwards says, and you have come to this place, and, well, this pasuk continues, you have come to this place, and you have vanquished Sichon and Og, the two mighty kings. If he's talking about the list of miracles, why is it necessary to remind them of what just happened, where it happened? You came to this place and you vanquished Sichon and Og. They know it's this place, so why mention it at all? That's why Rashi says, from this we understand that Moshe is not continuing the list of miracles which Hashem has performed for them. He's shifting. And he's explaining why precisely at this point he's calling them all together to admonish them, to remind them to keep to Hashem's covenant. You know why? Because now you've come to this place. This place is the edge of Eretz Yisroel, just across the Yarden from Eretz Yisroel. And now, all the miraculous things, the kindnesses of Hashem on which you were dependent for your life throughout your journey through the desert. And when you were dependent on Hashem's kindnesses day by day, there's less of a chance that you'll rebel against him. But now you've come to this place. You're about to go into a normal, settled, natural form of existence. Now there's the possibility and the concern that you shouldn't rebel against Hashem. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them, that's why I'm calling you together to remind you to keep this covenant. But says the Rebbe, if so, then why is he continuing with the miracles of the battle with Sichon and Og? So the Rebbe, the point of reminding them about Sichon and Og was not to continue with the miracles. On the contrary, you are going to see yourself as great and as honored because of your battle with Sichon and Og, which give you the impression that you've accomplished and not Hashem. And that's why the Rebbe interjects. That's why the verbs over here are all possessive nouns, where it says, we have fought against Sichon and Og. We have vanquished them. Earlier in Parshas Devarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about the victory against Sichon and Og, he used the term Hashem, our God, delivered Sichon and Og into our hand. Here, the emphasis is, we took and we struck them. In other words, is your apt to consider it your abilities that won the war, which would lead you to rebel against Hashem, to detach yourself, especially when coming into a normal, natural, settled existence. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, that's why I'm calling you together now, to remind you. And here the Rebbe comes back to explain what the problem with this interpretation of Ad Hayoyim Hazer, that Rashi needs another interpretation. And if he needs another interpretation, why does he bring it only after three psukim later? What happened in between that necessitated this second interpretation? So the Rebbe explained. Here, there are a couple of problems with this first interpretation. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, according to the first interpretation of Ad Hayoyim Hazer, finally, you have come to your own recognition and your own initiative in appreciating Hashem's kindness and wanting to be close to Him. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu say that until now Hashem didn't give you a knowing heart? Not about what Hashem gave them or didn't give them, it's about their involvement. They didn't really have the appreciation. Second of all, Ad Hayoyim Hazer, as we learned at the beginning of the Sicha, normally means up to and including today, to this very day. But this interpretation is the deviation. So we understand why Rashi deviates, but after all, it's not so smooth. Third of all, according to this interpretation, the story of the Sefer Torah being given by Moshe Rabbeinu to the tribe of Levi happened before Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, yeah, you haven't had a knowing heart until today, because it's only their reaction to his giving the Sefer Torah to the Bnei Levi that causes Moshe Rabbeinu to say those words. But in Chumash, it's the other way around. Here in chapter 29, we have Moshe Rabbeinu saying that you haven't had a knowing heart until today. Later in chapter 31, we have Moshe Rabbeinu giving the Sefer Torah to the children of Levi. That's the problem with these, with the first interpretation. So, the clincher, which is what causes Rashi to offer his second interpretation, three psukim later, is that Moshe Rabbeinu said that you have come to this place, meaning the edge of a settled land, and then he goes back to talk about the victory against Sichon and Og. That was clearly a miraculous victory, so surely it's out of place to mention it here, where Moshe Rabbeinu is admonishing them that you're about to come into a settled existence. That's the nature of this place. So why jump back to the miracles of Sichon and Og? Since Moshe does, and that doesn't fit according to the first interpretation of Ad Hayoyim Hazer, therefore Rashi offers the second interpretation, which solves all these problems. Ad Hayoyim Hazer is up to and including today. Hashem didn't give you a knowing heart, because Hashem is the one who made that nature that a person doesn't arrive at a proper understanding of his teacher's teaching until 40 years. He didn't give you. The story of Sichon and Og does in fact follow the pattern of miracles which Moshe Rabbeinu had been pointing out to them till now. The miracles of Egypt, the miracles of the desert, and other miracles of Sichon and Og. And Ad Hayoyim Hazer means that you haven't been able to understand, to grasp fully until even now. But from now onward, you will be in a position, and therefore Hashem will hold you accountable. And therefore you shall guard this covenant. And Rashi said, V'goymer, et cetera. What's the et cetera? The rest of that pasuk is by the covenant, so that you will act wisely in all that you do. L'man tazkilu es asher ta'asu, to act wisely, follows on the idea that now you have been given, or you're going to be given, a knowing heart, to an understanding heart. So now l'man tazkilu, so you will act wisely in all that you do. Why bring the first interpretation if it has so many problems? Why not suffice with the second one? Because according to the second interpretation, the words Vatavoyu Elamokim Hazeh, you came to this place, where Moshe Rabbeinu is just continuing the list of miracles, those words are entirely unnecessary. If Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them that they don't have a knowing heart till the end of 40 years, it's got to do with time, nothing to do with place. Therefore, Rashi brings this interpretation as the second one, and the main interpretation is the first one, that Ada Yoyim Azer means up to but not including today. Today I see that you have an understanding heart. The Rebbe then goes down to point out two ideas in the Yeino Shel Torah, the Pnimiyus HaTorah, which are hinted at in Rashi. Number one, Rashi's choice of calling Hashem Hamokoim or HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead of the way he's called in the Pasuk Hashem indicates that Rashi is concerned with the idea of the people recognizing Hashem within a natural existence. Because Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, indicates Hashem as he is beyond nature. Hamokoim is as Hashem is found within space. HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that which is removed from the world instills itself, inserts itself, even Hashem, as he is beyond the world, inserts himself within the world. That's why Rashi uses those two forms in describing Hashem. But this is only relevant now in Moshe Rabbeinu's speech. Why? Because when they were in the desert, they didn't need to recognize Hashem in the commonplace, in the natural. They were living a supernatural existence. It's only now when they're going into Eretz Yisrael and they will be living a natural existence that it's important that they learn to recognize Hashem within nature. So now is when Moshe Rabbeinu is pointing it out to them. But the question is, since it was Hashem himself who made this nature that a person has the difficulty recognizing him when Hashem is hidden within the natural order, so how are they expected to be able to recognize him after all? That's why Rashi has the second interpretation, that Hashem gave them a knowing heart now after 40 years. This is the connection between the two interpretations. The first one deals with recognizing Hashem within a settled existence. The second one talks about a special empowerment that they're given just as they're about to enter that settled existence in Eretz Yisrael. Now they have the recognition of a knowing heart. So that's why we have both interpretations, which complete each other.